Glory to God. What an honor to be here. I always say that I don't take it lightly. I know we are living in the last days, and God's doing things that we would never expect. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to share with you today. God has been speaking to my heart, and he's breaking my heart. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I would like to introduce you to my new baby. A new Bible that I just got this afternoon, bilingual. But I had planned to use this one, so I said, I'm going to use you. I love the Word of God. I know some people collect ties, shoes, purses, but my passion is the Word of God. I mean, I go nuts. Because the Word of God brings me life. When I'm down, when I'm sad, it lifts me up. It's the word that God's given. So if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one. So let me see your Bibles. I want to see your beautiful Bible. Let me see. Lift it up. Glory for his word. Glory to God for his word. Amen. Praise God. This powerful word that changes us, transforms us into his image. I would like you to open the scriptures with me in the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. The book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. Hallelujah. And the title of my message is, When Tears Become Our Prayer. When Tears Become Our Prayer. Father God, I come before you, Jesus, and I ask you, God, that you will help me, Lord. Father, we only depend on you, God. Only you can give us the strength. And I know that you have a word tonight for the people that are here, God. I ask you, God, that you will soothe the hearts, God, that you will take anything that is trying to stop them, Father, from hearing what you have to say. Father, tonight you have a message that will set them free. So I come against any attack, any blockage of the enemy, God. And we say that this is enough. This is enough. Today is a day of deliverance. Today we are going to be set free by your power. And I thank you, God, that you are here. I acknowledge your presence, God. I ask you that you will use me according unto your will. I surrender to you, God. I surrender absolutely everything, God. Be free. Be glorified, Jesus, tonight. Amen. The word of God says in chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. So Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat at the table. A sinful woman in the town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's home. So she brought an alabaster jar of perfume and stood behind Jesus at his feet, crying. She began to wash his feet with her tears, and she dried them with her hair, kissing them many times and rubbing them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who asked Jesus to come to his house saw this, he thought of himself. If Jesus were a prophet, he would know that the woman touching him is a sinner. Jesus said to the Pharisee, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon said, Teacher, tell me. Jesus said, Two people owe money to the same banker. One owned 1,500 coins or denarii, and the other owned 50. And they had no money to pay what they owed. But the banker told both of them that they didn't have to pay it. Which person will love the banker more? Simon the Pharisee answered, I think it would be the one who owed him the most money. Jesus said to Simon, You're right. Then Jesus turned towards the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss of greeting, but she has been kissing my feet since I came in. You did not put oil on my head, but she pour perfume on my feet. I tell you, that her many sins are forgiven. So she showed great love. But the person who is forgiven only a little will love only a little. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The people sitting at the table began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Because you believe, you are saved from your sins. Go in peace." Hallelujah. As I was reading this story, I couldn't help it but to cry, because it touches me, my heart, to see the mercy and the love of Jesus. And the Bible has many stories that help us understand how much God loves you and me. And when I read the scriptures, I always put myself in the shoes of the people that are mentioned in these scriptures. And tonight, God wants to speak to you, so listen closely. Maybe you will be able to identify yourself with one of these persons in the story. At this time, Jesus was invited into the house of this man who was a Pharisee. The Pharisees was like a religious group of people, and they would wear different clothing so they could separate themselves from the others. They would do a lot of rituals. They would read the scripture. They would do a lot of religious activities. But there was a problem with these people. Even though they read so much, they missed the point. They missed the point that God was a God of love and a God of mercy. And the Bible says that this man, the Pharisee, his name was Simon, and he invited Jesus to come into his house. He knew about religion. He knew about the law. He studied it so much. But the sad thing in this story, that the very Son of God, the very creator of heaven and earth, had chosen to go to his house, and yet he didn't recognize that. All the religion had blinded him, doing this, doing that, because he thought, if I do that, I can win God. He was doing his own efforts, but nothing with the heart that God wanted him to have. But yet Jesus loved him dearly, and he accepted the invitation. It was customary in their culture that when somebody would come and visit you, the people walk long distances so their feet would get dusty and dirty. So they would wash their feet. They would greet them with a kiss. But this man had no idea that Jesus was sitting at his table. Had no idea the power and the love that Jesus had for him. He totally ignored it, and he didn't even do what he was supposed to do. But in the same town, there was another person, and this was a woman. And the Bible says that this woman was a sinful woman. She had a lifestyle that was immoral. I know that in that time, there was a lot of people that did bad things and did immoral things. But maybe they protected themselves. Maybe they did it hidden. But for this woman, it was already a public information. Everybody knew that she was the sinner. She was the woman that maybe would sleep with other people. People could use her. And today, there's a lot of people that carry a label in their lives. Maybe they look at you and they say, "You, the drug addict. You, the alcoholic. You, the loser." The enemy comes and accuses you of many things. And some things could be true. Maybe you have displayed a behavior that has destroyed you. Nobody wanted to get around this woman. People look at her and they will cross the street. They didn't want to have no association unless they would take advantage of her. And this woman kept going and growing. That was a lifestyle. She was bounded by the enemy. Totally destroyed. And it is very easy to go in the streets and see somebody maybe homeless and say, "Look, a homeless." Maybe to see a woman selling her body in the street, "Look, a prostitute." But I'll tell you, Jesus is beyond that. Jesus says, "What was the original problem with this person?" And I'll tell you, woman didn't born to be a sinful woman. In fact, when God made you and me, He made us perfect. God made Adam and Eve, and he had wonderful plans. But men disobeyed God. And the Bible says that sin entered into the world. Sin is whatever action you take that is against God. And when you do something that is against God, you cannot get closer to God. There is a separation. And this is what's happening with this woman. She was separated from the Lord. And I believe that maybe she tried to seek God, but they would tell her, who? You? You had nothing to do with God. They looked down on her. And I started wondering, and I said, God, how she became a sinful woman? Perhaps when she was a little girl, maybe she was a pretty little girl, and somebody came and took advantage of her. Perhaps they left her stranded in the street. Perhaps she was looking for love in the wrong places. And she met a man, and he said, oh, I'm going to marry you. And then he left her, he forsake her. Maybe he abandoned her, divorced her, and left her in the street by herself. Maybe she needed to provide for herself to survive, and she decided that prostitution was the way to get out. And then it was already too late when she tried to get out. We don't know. We don't know what the pain that she went through. We don't know the loneliness. We don't know the agony in her heart. We don't know the pain that she went through. We only know that she had a sinful lifestyle. And people pointed out to her. Perhaps after so much pain, she said, you know what? I'm not going to cry no more. I'm going to get even. And I'm going to get other people. I'm going to do the same thing to other people. I don't know, maybe she got pregnant and then she lost a baby on her own decision. I don't know. But I can tell you that when she would go home at night, she would be crying. The Bible speaks about in scriptures that there's a psalmist who said that he would fill his couch, his bed with tears. But I tell you, when we're talking about Jesus Christ, he is the God who cares. He's the God who loves. He's the one who goes after you. In fact, the Bible says that every tear that you have cried, he has kept them in a bottle. Every tear that you have cried, he has seen. Because God is a God that is acquainted with pain. He's a God that is acquainted with grief. That is the Jesus that I'm telling you tonight. The Jesus that decided to suffer, to be beaten, to be spit on, and to be crucified, where they put nails on his hands and put him on a tree, on a piece of wood, and he stood in front of other people. But he did it because he loved you and because he loved me. This woman was going through a very difficult time. And if it is about religion, as I said before, she has seen bad examples. People that call themselves that know God, but their life wasn't showing a relationship with God. Because you see, people could do a lot of activities, religious activities, to have an outward appearance. But they can also miss God. Miss the very relationship that God is longing. God is not impressed with how many times you go to church or how many activities you do. He's impressed. He wants to have a relationship with you. This woman went all the way. And I'm pretty sure she knew about news, because how did she find out that Jesus was hanging in the house of Simon? I don't know. And how she got into the house? I don't know. But the Bible says that she came and stood quietly. And I'll tell you, she was longing to see something different. She had heard about Jesus, because otherwise she wouldn't have gone there. She heard that Jesus healed the people that were sick. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. And that when he spoke with such an authority. And people that had an encounter with him were changed and were different. And she said, I hear a lot of those things, but I need to see it for myself. And in her own thinking, she said, well, I cannot come with my empty hands. I have to bring him a gift. And out of the things that she had, she chose a perfume, a very expensive perfume. And she brought it so she could give it to Jesus. Jesus was in the house of Simon, and yet he cared a lot about Simon. Unfortunately, he didn't realize who Jesus was. But also, Jesus knew that in that very house, that woman was going to come. Because you see, Jesus knows everything, and you are here tonight, and you wonder how I came here. Somebody invited me, or I just passed through. But I'll tell you, you are here. But Jesus knew you were going to be here. Jesus knew you had an appointment with him, whether you realize it or not. He is here right now. We hear these beautiful songs. We heard the testimonies. We already know that God is already doing a surgery inside of our heart. And you feel it. You feel like a little numb. Well, that thing that you feel is the presence of God. He is here. When the woman was on her way, I know Jesus because he's my Lord. And I know that when I go after Jesus, when I go and look for him, I know his heart beats after me. So I believe that when she was walking towards the house of Simon, the heart of Jesus was pumping because he's like, I'm going to see her. I'm going to see her. Because he loved her dearly. But he was in somebody's house, so he's eating in there. And as soon as that woman comes into the house, something happened to her. She used to be in control of her emotions throughout her life. But all of a sudden, she was standing behind the very presence of God. And when you stand behind the presence of God, you are exposed. Absolutely every detail of your life is presented. Your sinfulness, your inadequacies, your failures, everything was standing before her, and she couldn't do nothing. The beautiful thing is that the presence of God doesn't condemn you. He doesn't say, you the prostitute, you the drug addict, you the alcoholic, you're the murderer of children. That is not my Jesus. Jesus said that he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Hallelujah. He came to save you and me. That was the purpose why Jesus came onto this earth. Because he loved you very much. And she couldn't hold herself. And she started crying and crying. I can imagine her tears falling on her cheeks, but she was crying with so much depthness of her heart that the tears were very abundant, to the point that her tears, without she realizing, fell on Jesus' feet. I will tell you something about my Jesus. My Jesus is God, but he's also man. He's acquainted with our pains and with our griefs. And he's a very sensitive man. There was one time he was walking among a crowd of people, and a woman just came and touched the end of his garment. And all of a sudden, she said, stop. And said, wait, somebody has touched me. They didn't touch his skin. They touched just a little end of his garment. And he stopped for that. How do you think he felt when the tears fell on his feet? Oh, my Jesus, his heart trembled. His heart was consumed with passion for that very woman. And I'll tell you, every tear that she was crying was representing all her failures. It was representing all the pain that she had gone through. It was representing the abuses. It was representing the sicknesses that she had. It was representing all her dreams that were broken down. All the lies that the enemy had told her that she had grabbed onto it. She was crying. And Jesus' feet were dusty. So I imagine that water with dust, it looks like a little bit like a mud, right? And I'm pretty sure she got embarrassed. She's like, what have I done to Jesus? And Jesus is saying nothing. But I'll tell you, her tears were speaking a message. Her tears were communicating. Jesus, here I am. This is me. They were tears of repentance. Because you know what? Tears express emotions. You don't hear them necessarily. You can feel them. And sometimes your tears might express joy, you know, sadness, emotions, different emotions. But her tears were crying out of repentance. And she came and she knelt down and she grabbed her hair and she started drying the tears of Jesus, drying the tears that had fallen Jesus' feet. I wonder if she was drying them because maybe she thought, my clothes is so dirty. How am I going to touch Jesus? How am I going to touch this holy man? Who am I? I'm a dirty woman, rejected by everyone, looked down. But you know what? She grabbed her hair and she couldn't hold and touch the presence of God because there was love coming out of those feet. There was love coming out of the body of Jesus. The holiness of God in front of you. And when you imagine you're in front of the presence of Jesus, you just go and kneel down because who are you? You can't deserve it. He is so holy, so precious. Yet he wasn't rejecting her. Not at all. Jesus came and let her dry. And at this moment, she decided to pour the gift that she had brought for Jesus, a valuable perfume. And as soon as she was rubbing and putting the perfume, the enemy came. And the pride of this man, Simon, saying, oh, if Jesus, if you were a prophet, you would know what kind of woman this one is. She's a sinner who's touching you. I mean, he was missing out the point. There's this woman tearing, pouring out her heart, and he doesn't even see that. And that's what religiosity do. Religion only looks at you and says, wrong, you're not good, you're this, you're that. But you know what? The Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. And that is the mercy of Jesus. He says, yes, you might be whatever it is, but I'm going to make you a new person. And tonight, there's people in here. Maybe you feel like that woman. You're feeling, you know what? There's no hope for me. I have gone to the lowest of the lowest. Nobody ever cares for me. Everybody looks down on me. And even when I have tried on my own strength to reform myself, I always blown it. I always ruin everything. But I tell you, the same Jesus that was at Simon's house is right here tonight. Is that Jesus that said, I will do everything for you. If you were the only person in the world that will need help like that woman, he will go after you. He will come and tell you, I am here to save you, to deliver you, to make you whole, to make you a new person. For Jesus, there is no crimes. There is no sins. There's no things that you have done that will stop him from loving him. Like our sister was saying today, you can scream at Jesus, tell him, I hate you, I don't want nothing to do with you. But he will continue loving you. His love was so deep that he went to the cross and he suffered. And the Bible says that he carried every sin, every evil thing that you have done. He carried it in himself. And I know that as the tears were falling on Jesus' feet, he knew that absolutely every bad thing that she had done, he was going to die for her on the cross and carry her sins away. People start saying, you look at this woman who's touching you. But you know what? I love something about my Jesus. You don't mess up with the people that Jesus loved. Never. Immediately, as this man is thinking this evil thought about the woman, Jesus comes and says, wait a second. He comes to defend you. That is the Jesus. I love Jesus because he always defends us. He comes and he stands on the bridge in our place and says no. Because he has the authority, he has the power, and he can speak on our behalf. The Bible says that there was a man called Joshua, and the enemy came to accuse him. Because the enemy, the devil is an accuser, but God said no. You see, Jesus, you see yourself as you are right now, but through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice that Jesus did in Calvary, you can be transformed. You can become a new person in him because the Bible says that we are becoming new creatures if you believe. And if tonight you come and you give your heart to Jesus, everything that you wear, it will be gone. You will become a new person if you will only let Jesus come into your heart. If you would only allow him to work. Because you see, this woman had to come to Jesus. You have to come to him and present yourself. If she would have stayed in her house, this would be a fiction. It would have not been a reality. But she came and she saw Jesus because she knew that she was empty. She knew she had no hope. She knew that she needed the Lord. Jesus defended the woman in front of Simon and told him a story about somebody owning much and how these people were forgiven and how much they care. And I love this part in the scripture that says, do you see this woman? He's standing right defending this woman. He says, when I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. He did not miss out what she was doing to him. He appreciated her sincerity, her surrendering. And he says, you gave me no kiss of greeting, but she had been kissing my feet since I came in. I'll tell you, when you kiss somebody, think about you being delivered. Think about somebody was going to shoot you in your head. And then somebody comes and said, you know what? No, you cannot shoot it. And then they deliver you. How you feel? You're grateful. You go, thank you, thank you, thank you. This woman knew who she was. And she was kissing Jesus' feet. She was so grateful. And you know what? There was an audience in there because there were other people at the table. But you know what? I'll tell you, when you get delivered, who cares who's next to you? Who cares? You know you've been set free. I don't care. I'm going to go and bow down before Jesus and cry and kiss his feet. She kissed his feet. And he said, she's been kissing my feet. It says in here, you did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. I'll tell you, this is Jesus speaking, that her many sins are forgiven. Her many sins. Jesus acknowledged that, yes, she was sinful. And she had many, many sins. But yet, all of those many sins were forgiven, the Bible says. And he says, because she showed great love. But the person who is forgiven only a little will only love a little. And then, not only he stood in her defense, but this is the most amazing moment for me when he turned to her. Oh, I will melt. I will fall behind. Jesus, because she was behind him, remember? And he says in here that he turned to her and he directly said to her, your sins are forgiven. And tonight, Jesus is standing in front of you. He's turning to you and he's telling you, your sins are forgiven. But there's another aspect that we need to read in the scripture. And look, it says in here. It says, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus said to the woman, because you believe, you are saved from your sins. Go in peace. And I would invite you today, if the musicians can come, I would invite you today to believe in him. He gave everything for you. There's nothing, no way you can make it to God if it is not only through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot come to God except you come through Jesus. He is here tonight. He wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. He wants to make you new. He cares about you so much. He's dying for you. He came and died for you. That's how much he loved you. What else do you want? I mean, it's true. He loves you. You've been hearing lies and lies and lies, but there's someone who really loves you. Maybe somebody tells you they love you and they use you and throw you away. That's not love. This guy that I'm talking about gave his life for you. He already demonstrated his love that while you were sinner, he died for you. If you don't have him tonight, do not leave this place without him. Run to him. Go like this woman. Who cares what you have done in your past? He's not counting on that. He's telling you, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me and I will heal you. Come unto me and I will make you a new creation. Jesus is here right now. I'm going to invite you to come like that woman. If you're going to cry, cry. Who cares who's watching? You don't care about people. This is about death and life. If you have Jesus today, you have life. If you don't have Jesus today and you die tomorrow, you're not going to make it to heaven. This is a serious decision. Come unto Jesus. He's here right now. He's asking you, come unto me. Come unto me. I'm going to invite you to stand up. And I'm going to invite you to come here. And I'm going to also invite you, if you're dealing with a sickness, Jesus is going to make you whole tonight. Come unto him and run, because he's here and he wants to do something different in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, majesty, we come before you, Lord. We bow down before you, Jesus. Hay poder, there is power. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we thank you, God. I ask you for these people right now, God. Start breaking strongholds in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabababasaka. Hay poder, there is power in your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come and repeat with me. Say the following prayer. As I pray, you repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you and I surrender my life to you. I ask you, Jesus, that you will forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me, Lord. Take away all the pain. Take away all the depression. Take away all the loneliness, Jesus. I'm in need of you, God. I want to thank you, Lord, that you died for me. You shed your blood for me. I want to thank you that you love me. And today I ask you, Jesus, that you will write my name in the book of life. I want to thank you that you will wipe away my tears. I thank you that you will give me joy and hope. Right now, I ask you that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit. I ask you that you will give me your mind, and that I will think what you want me to think. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And I'm going to pray for the people that are sick right now, God. Hay poder en tu nombre, Señor. There is power in your name, Father God. Father, I come against any sickness right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Father, you have made us whole, Lord Jesus. There is power in your name. And in the name of Jesus, I speak to every sickness in this place. It needs to live right now. Right now. By the power of Jesus Christ. You go right now. You have no power, no authority. I ask you, Jesus, that you will set free any sickness, any cancer, any problems with the lungs, any problems, Lord Jesus, in their cells, God. Father, take away any sickness right now, God. Father, I ask you for depression. Depression, a spirit of depression, we cast it out in the name of Jesus. Father, any tormenting spirit, we cast it out in the name of Jesus. Father, we are sealed and we are restored by your power, God. Father, we want to give you thanks. Now, I'm going to ask you to open your mouth and start thanking Jesus. Come on, he's here. Open your mouth and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am set free. I am delivered. I am a new creature. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you. We seal these prayers, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.